Hey, good morning, Brittany. Can you hear me? Dr. Josh, you come up as Kaylee.
Good morning.
How's it going, everybody?
Good.
Everybody on time, rocking and rolling today. I love it.
Dustin's not going to be here. He just sent me an email. I forgot what he said he had going on, though.
Okay. All right.
First day go, Brittany.
It's today.
Oh, it's today. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
You excited or nervous?
Excited.
Good.
Doesn't Josh look like the representative Shay Shorewell? Does anybody know who that is?
I don't. No?
The state representative? Google it whenever you get off this call this morning. He looks just like this guy.
Where is he, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Gotcha, Josh.
At least from the bit of his head I can see. I never see his body, but I always see his head.
He's jacked.
Is he?
Yeah. I don't know. Can you hear us, Dr. Josh?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Sounds good. It's funny, your name comes up as Kaylee. I mean, obviously, it's your wife's name, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And using her computer today, so.
Cool. Oh, got it. Got it. Yeah. Got it.
We'll see, like, two more minutes and we'll wait. There should be two more people coming.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start our room, just get things rolling. What's gone good in the last week since we spoke last time, specifically? What's gone good professionally? Like, what are you working on that you're starting to see some results? Brittany, why don't we start with you? And I know you haven't been practicing for 2 weeks, but maybe something you've been focusing on, something you're working on improving. Brittany froze.
Not a good first day.
Yeah. How about Dr. Luke?
A trend that we've seen in the last 2 weeks. I think I've had about 8 patients that have never been to a chiropractor before. I don't think I've ever seen that many in one tiny little span of time as far as just our new patients go. And we just had some really good, or at least we kind of created some really good first time chiropractic experiences for people. And that's always, something super important for me, because not every new patient that I come around that has had previous chiropractic care, brings a good experience with them. So that was cool.
Which is a really important point. Actually, I'd much rather have someone who's never been to a chiropractor than someone who's been to one or multiple chiropractic experiences, because if you guys are like us, and I know you guys are, I know your offices is, most of them get the kind of wham, bam, thank you type of experience. They don't get evaluated, thoroughly. They're not educated properly. It's just really about getting them in and getting them out. And so, and then you have to retrain their belief system. They think chiropractic is simply a pain relief process. So I'd much rather have someone who's never been a chiropractor before.
Yeah, me too. So what you find is the ones that come in with past experience, they're in your office for a reason usually, and that's because they didn't have a really good experience, but they know there's something to it that could help. And so we kind of got to rewire them to why that experience wasn't so great and why ours is going to be better this time around, which is a struggle sometimes, right?
Yep. But it's also fun sometimes if they come in with previous struggles, and then you do something and they're like, well, my previous chiropractor didn't do that. And then it's like, well, why didn't you go back to them in the first place? Oh, because it didn't work. That's why we're doing things differently.
Which is one of the reasons why today we're going to get into, we're going to start with day one. Hang on a second, guys. Some serious feedback here. So we're going to start with day one. And some of you guys have been through it. Some it's going to be a reuse. Some it's going to be absolutely brand new to. And how you build that rapport immediately with a patient, it's going to be really, really powerful. So, Josh, same question to you. What's something you've been working on? You're starting to see some results with, feeling good about, you're making some progress with.
I would say I've been working on that re-exam process that you guys talked about, adding those two questions. Again, it's been really good to get that feedback from the patients, because now they are starting to think about who else they can refer, who else is going through what they've gone through, so that I can get immediate feedback, or I can ask who they want to refer into the office based upon the good results that they've already started to see.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Have you gotten any results with it, Josh? Then anybody?
One family member coming in.
Sweet. So,
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So if you guys remember, I want to go through some of those reeval questions really quickly here, because we want to give you as much meat on the bone as possible that you could take immediately and start applying to your business to get results in. This program is going to be about results. So when we go through a reeval questionnaire, you can do it a couple ways. You can ask them personally, which I would highly suggest, which means you have to schedule the appropriate amount of time for your reevaluation. Here's another thing that will separate you from most other chiropractors. Most other chiropractors, number one, do not do re-exams, guys. Believe it or not, they do not do re-exams. Now, re-exams are not simply to do them because, it increases your collections, but insurance companies require it. And really the number one reason is to reconnect with the patient, to reestablish their current healthcare goals, to make sure they're still on track with the initial goals that have been set. And also determine, where are they at? Are they still committed? You'll be able to identify if they're actually thinking of leaving your practice. And also it's a referral generator. So scheduling an appropriate amount of time for a reevaluation is critical for PVA and referrals. So there's four basic questions you should ask in the re-exam process that you should have. Again, you can do it as a questionnaire. I would suggest you sit down and you ask the patient these questions. So number one, please tell us, how would you rate your overall experience in our office on a scale of 0, mm-hmm. 1 to 10? So 10 being, super fantastic. And if it's not a 9 out of 10, what can we do to improve? Now, two things why this is really important. Number one is you're going to be able to determine how they view the value of their experience. And two, you're going to get a lot of positive feedback in areas where you can improve in your business. And so the second part of this question is really important, because there are areas that you need to continue to improve upon. Maybe it's paperwork. Maybe it's the gal at the front desk who's a little bitchy. Maybe it's the fact that, maybe it's they don't feel like they've gotten enough education, whatever the case may be. So please tell us, how would you rate your overall experience at our office based on a scale of 1 to 10? Now, 9 or 10 means they're having an absolute exceptional experience. In business, it's called an NPS, guys. It's called the Net Promoter Score. If someone gives you a 9 or 10 on the Net Promoter Score, it means they think very highly of your business and the experience. In other words, they've had great value. 9s and 10s are referring people to your practice. If they give you a 7 or 8, it means they've had a good experience, but not good enough to go out and tell anybody about your business, right? It says, it's cool, it's great, but I'm not knocking down the doors. I'm not evangelizing for you. If they're having a 6 or less, Well, it's probably then not even made the re-exam process because they're not having a really good experience. Now, if there are seven or eight, the second part of the question is absolutely critical because what you can learn from that answer will tell you what they don't like about your business and why they're already thinking of leaving. So if they give you a seven or eight and said, how can we improve that? Well, you know what? You know, every time I come, I got to wait 20 minutes in the reception room before I get in to see you. That's an issue. Okay, you got to figure out your processes. So question number two you're going to ask them, or this could technically be number three. What improvement, and this is really important, guys. This is the lifestyle question. These are the impact questions. What improvements have you seen in your life as it relates to your energy, your sleep, your focus, your attitude, your ability to perform your work, exercise, right? These are lifestyle questions. And it's lifestyle why patients stay, right? They come in because of pain. They stay for quality of life. So this is where you understand the quality of life impact that your care has provided them. It also reminds them, because honestly, they probably haven't even really thought about it. Question number three. Have you noticed any reduction in the consumption of prescription or over-the-counter medications? This is another anchor we want to make for them, is that chiropractic care is getting you off of drugs, right? More times than not, you're going to hear, you know, I'm not taking as much ibuprofen. You know, I stopped taking the anti-inflammatories. So then you follow up with them. How important do you think that is to you? Right? How important is that to you? And then number four is, Josh, what we kind of started this conversation on, have you referred a friend or family member to our practice? Now, typically, the end of the first re-evaluation for most of you is going to be at the end of the first month. I know some of you do it 2 weeks out. Whatever way you do it is fine with me. I really don't care. But if they haven't referred anybody to your practice in the first 30 days, my question was always asked, Josh, it seems like based on what you're telling me, you've had an absolutely great experience. You've been off medications. Your quality of life has improved. I'm curious, how come you haven't referred a friend or family member? I mean, make it conversational. I'm curious. It's the best way to start a conversation with a patient is start by asking, hey, I'm curious. You've been getting some great results. How come you haven't referred a friend? Because you're not guilting them, but you're poking them like, hey, great information should flow through us, not to us. Tell other people about your experience here. Now, a follow-up to that is, guys, and this is the gold right here. You want to increase your referral starting today? Here's the goal. Hey, Josh, if there is a way we can get the rest of your family checked on me, no cost, is that something you'd be interested in doing? You want to jack up your referrals by 50%? Ask that question. So you're probably saying, so how do you do that? Well, it's simple. How many of you guys, just by a show of hands, how many of you guys use a some sort of scan, EMG, MyoVision, CLA? Okay, so just about everybody. Do you know you guys don't?
No, we don't use that.
Okay, so there's other tools that you can use there. You guys, because you guys are getting in the SRT stuff, you could do a head weighted film, you could do a posture analysis.
Well, you would do is two laterals. There's still two laterals. Do a lateral cervical, lateral lumbar.
We actually just talked about that last week, doing like the second x-ray, like after post-visit to start showing them correction-wise.
Yeah, no, that's good.
That was the first visit?
First visit we take x-rays, and we were talking last week about it, and we were thinking about doing like a second set of x-rays to start showing like improvement.
You doing motion fluoroscopy or are you just doing x-rays?
Just x-rays.
I don't know I'm just going to throw my two cents in here. I don't think that's going to be a killer idea because that first adjustment, especially if you got a 60-year-old, never been checked, that's a severe amount of ligament damage and scar tissue, you aren't going to see a traumatic or a tremendous result. Yes. Then they're going to be like, oh, well, doc, you told me I was going to see that. I didn't really see that. I don't know if I would go there.
Okay.
That would be just a try it, but I don't think you're going to get what you think you're going to get out of it.
Okay.
What I would do is be like, look, hey, this is your lateral. Go ahead and do a stress film maybe after the next one. That's what we do right away anyway. And then say, hey, look, so the next visit, what we're going to do is we're going to run through day one. You're going to get your warm-ups in. You get everything for your soft tissue, the ligaments that we found faulty, the bad disc. Then we're going to adjust you, and then we're going to shoot a stress film to show your stabilization, what you guys are doing anyway. And then when you show them that, they're like, oh, now that's a change. So now let's, where are we going next, you know? Just be a little worried with that.
Perfect.
Do you know another option is, do you do any muscle testing?
Yes, we do.
Muscle testing is a great new patient getter because it just freaks them out, right? So they're like, how did you do that? So muscle testing is another really good way to do it. Posture analysis is another really good way of doing it. There's an app called Posture Pro where you can literally take a picture of their spine from front and side, and you can show them forward head carry, high right shoulder, high left hip, okay? So some sort of visual tool, like Dr. Eddie mentioned, the x-ray is definitely a good one, but some visual tool. That's why the scan is really good.
Okay.
So essentially what we do is we do a complementary muscle testing, scan, whatever, right? So it's a brief assessment evaluation. Essentially what you're doing is you're doing what you would normally do is you're assessing them for underlying neurological stress. And you're saying, look, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm not seeing. And then you make your recommendations. Look, I would recommend we evaluate this further. The initial, it's kind of like a blood pressure screening, right? You don't get charged with a blood pressure screening, but what do? Then they put you on blood pressure medications, right? Right? So it's kind of along that sort of line. So even question number four.
You just did a lateral cervical and said, hey, if they got fatigue, anxiety, low back pain, literally like whatever they came in with, more often than not, you're going to see a really faulty neck. If you're doing Pettibon, you understand where I'm going with this. And so then you're like, hey, you're experiencing fatigue. It's funny you said that. 90% of people that come in experience fatigue have this kind of neck. You start to stretch the spinal cord, forehead carry, et cetera. So now the body's running like a Ferrari. So now it's tapping out. You're going 120 miles an hour all day, every day. And what we're going to do now, let's go into a further evaluation to see how we can help you prevent that from progressing. Now, I think that would be a killer one, actually. We need to do that in our office.
Yeah, that's a good tool. That's a good tool. So there's some really, so if you guys are not doing regular re-exams, okay, the one goal I'm going to ask you to do starting today is start to focus on looking at your current patient's treatment plans. Where are they? And are they scheduled for a re-evaluation? Some of you heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it probably another 10 times during these times we're on the call here. If the only thing the patient has to look forward to is getting out of pain, the only thing they look forward to is getting out of pain and stopping care. Patients need milestones and goals. If they have goals, then they're likely to stay longer. You're going to have a higher retention rate. So a reevaluation is a goal to reassess their objective findings. So if you're 2 weeks into the care plan, say, hey, Dino, we're going to schedule your reevaluation 2 weeks from today to assess and measure the objective improvements. So we know if we're on the right track, how you're progressing, and if we can reassess your treatment plan at that point as well.
And also what I've been noticing with other people we worked with or working with is now people are starting to drip back in our practices from this COVID thing. Don't let them just slip back into every 2 week care plan or whatever that looks like. This is a great time when they come in that day. Hey, Miss Jones, it looks like you haven't been in since March. Let's do a re-exam. Let's see how your body's handled this stress. Let's see how your physical adaptation has been. Let's see how your brain health's doing. So then let's run them through that re-exam. So then we can initiate, do we need to get them back in once a week or twice a week for a little bit to get everything to calm down? Or you just don't want to fall into this rut saying, oh, I'm so grateful that these people came back into our practice that we don't do the proper workup for that. And we're not serving the patient like we should be either, right?
I highly recommend that. That's a great, great suggestion. It really is. If they haven't been in, heck, guys, if they haven't been in 30 days, you need to do a reevaluation. In fact, I spoke to a very senior high up at United Healthcare. And I said, you know, what trends are you expecting to see? She said to me, and particularly in the chiropractic land, she said, you know, people fall off their care plans and they come back in once, you know, things start to open up and they get right back on the same care plan. She goes, we're shutting those people down. She goes, our assumption is that if they haven't, even if it's COVID related or not, if they haven't been in 90 days, 60 days, that their problem's resolved. So if they haven't been in that long, you have to start them, you almost do another reevaluation, new diagnosis, and get them on a new care plan. So great point, Dr. Eddie, really is. Okay, so we spoke with Luke, Josh, Dino. Something that you're feeling like you're making some good progress with.
Yeah, actually, funny, we're talking about referrals. I actually had 4 new patients last week that were referrals, and one of them was a guy that I didn't even start treating yet. I literally went through day one with him, and I had a referral the next day after from him.
Nice.
Yes.
Awesome. Any, what are you doing for the referrals? In other words, are you just asking a general question or just people?
Nothing, nothing yet. I was kind of taking everything you guys were saying here, and I was like, oh, wait, I should probably start doing that.
Yeah. So, which is awesome. Which means they like you and they like your care, but it didn't come because of a process. In other words,
yes,
you're not asking a certain question on day whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So we want to give you a producible system that you can guarantee that out of 10 people you ask, you're going to get 3 referrals from.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
So we want reproducible systems that are going to get results. So good for you. Just imagine when we give you a solid system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Dr. Corey.
So recently we've been seeing, I was on vacation last week, so I had personal successes last week, but the week before that, we've been seeing more Hispanic or more of our Hispanic community, and we've seen some referrals from that. So that's been an exciting adventure there. There is a little bit of a language barrier at times, but everybody seems to understand exactly, you know, what our plans are, what their goals are. So, yeah, we've gotten 2 or 3 referrals from that so far.
So do you get some people come in who don't speak English or speak English very well?
Correct.
We had the same issue here in our community. We have a very large Hmong community, which is like Southeast Asia. So they're not really Chinese. They're not really Taiwanese. They're really their own culture. So we had to reach out to our local university to find somebody who spoke the language and get a resource, because sometimes they'd have to come in with an interpreter. So that may help, you know, find a way to improve the communication.
What's been interesting is, like, for the initial evaluation, they'll bring a family member in along with them to kind of translate, but like previous visits or visits after, they come in by themselves and we seem to be able to communicate really well. Like there's a lot more or less of a language barrier than was perceived the first time around.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Dr. Jared. Hang on, you're still on mute.
Volume.
Yeah, this is my first time here. I know we've talked a little bit in the past. Supplementation was kind of a bigger thing for me probably the last few months. And I've kind of noticed over these last couple weeks, not necessarily that I've been pushing it more, but I've been, you know, looking for the people that have needed it more. And I just haven't said anything in the past. And once I started talking more about supplements, less about the weather, less about what they're doing this weekend, I've had more success as far as, you know, supplement sales go.
We're going to end with that today too. I'm going to give you guys a quick way to boost your OVA, like $3-5 over the next 4 weeks. That's going to be based on that kind of stuff that I've taught Jared over the last few months too. So it's cool. We've been doing it. His numbers have came up a lot in the last 4 weeks.
All right, good. We got through everybody.
Yeah.
So, did we? Yeah, I think we did. Yeah. Right? We did. Okay. So, We're going to start with day one here. And so let me ask you this question. Do you guys feel, what do you feel like the most important thing to get out of day one is? So Brenton, let me ask you that question. What do you think is the most important thing to get out of day one for a new patient? For you, from a new patient?
For me or for the patient?
Let's say you.
Like their expectations.
Okay, that's a good one. Okay, what do you think it's for the patient to get out of day one?
That, like, that I understand why they're there, I guess.
Good one. I like that too. Josh, your thoughts for you, and one for you, one for the patient.
I would say I think the one thing that I feel like I need to get out of the understanding from the patient is one understanding. For them to understand that I know exactly what's going on and understanding what their realistic expectation is. Mm-hmm. And two, I think that's it, isn't it?
You guys said the same thing. How are you asking that? Like, are you saying, hey, what is your expectation under care here? Like, what is that questioning?
Yeah, mine is, yeah, like after I've gotten basically through understanding, I asked him, I said, flat out, what are your expectations? What is it that you're looking for that I can make sure that I can help you get as we go through this process?
Cool. So I'm going to show you in a day one process where you should wait on asking that question, because when you ask that up front, they don't even know what they don't know yet. Okay. When we get through the end of day one, their view of the care in your office is going to be very different than it was when they first came in. So when they first came in, what do they think? I have a problem, fix my problem, get me out of pain, right? That's their expectation. I mean, can we assume everyone that that's essentially what the patient wants? Okay. How many times does a patient say, you know what, doc, I feel great. I want you to teach me how to stay great. And me and my family the rest of my life. How often does that happen? Not very often.
I've had two ever.
Yeah. I probably had two in 25 years. So it doesn't happen very often. So asking that question too early just reaffirms their belief system. And I want to say, let's wait to the end of day one when we begin the paradigm shift. Now their view is going to change quite a bit. So let me get into it. So day one. There is essentially five objectives we want to accomplish for day one. Now, I can email this to you, but you guys should write this down. Number one is we need to reduce the patient's anxiety to let them know that they're in the right place. You guys may not realize this or acknowledge this, but patients come into a chiropractor's office with anxiety just like they do with a medical doctor. Especially, you know, those eight new patients, Luke, that came in, they don't know anything about chiropractic, you know? And oftentimes what they know, they've heard from a friend or family member. And sometimes it may not be good. And so they're really anxious, right? Or if they walk into our office, you remember this, Dr. Josh, and you've got eight Thompson tables banging away in there, like, what the hell is that noise? And then when Dr. Stuckey was practicing, he was doing the large Kia, he would literally like, huh! Every time you adjust. So you walk in the reception area, you hear that, like, I'm out of here. Like, I don't know what's going on here. So you want to reduce their anxiety. Number two, we need to build trust and confidence. They need to know that you're the right person. And it's not about telling them the right person. It's by what we do and the actions that we create over the next hour that will let them know that you're the right person and this is the right office. Number three is we need to create a wow experience. We need to exceed the patient's perceived expectations when they walk into the practice. From the moment they walk in the first door, they're already making judgment about you. Literally within the first 15 seconds, they've made a judgment about your practice. So if this front desk person does not greet them with a smile or bubbly or energy, right? If the office is not neat and clean, maybe it has a funky odor. I don't know. Okay. Maybe it takes 15 minutes for someone to even acknowledge that they're there. They're already making a judgment about your practice. So every step of the patient journey is essential to maximize and create the wow experience. And not the least of which is the new patient phone call. When the patient calls to schedule, that needs to be a wow experience. You're like, well, how can that be a wow experience? Well, it can be. Let me just tell you, based on the person who takes that call, can make it a wow experience. So question number four, the number four objective is we need to begin the shift of how they view their healthcare. So literally we're starting the paradigm shift on day one. And then number five objective is really simple, right? We need to get them to come back. So let me, does anybody on this call here have 100% return rate from day one to day two? Do you ever have a new patient start on day one and not show up on day two? Okay. Josh, you got a pretty much 100% return rate for day two?
Yeah.
Cool. So we want to make sure you have 100% return rate, and this process will help you accomplish that. Okay. So there's a 10-step process, 10-step outline of the day one consult. First and foremost is, right, you've got your icebreaker, okay? Now, each practice is different, so I'm going to give you a general example. If, you know, when you walk in with a new patient, the initial thing is they're judging you, you're judging them. But we need to be beyond judgment. We need to be aware and conscious of the signals that the patient is sending us. In other words, when you walk in to have a consult with the patient, what are they doing? Are they sitting back in a chair, right, with their arms crossed, maybe probably on their phone, their head down on a phone? Do they stand up and greet you? Do they extend their hand? Do they shake your hand, right? Or they just glance up and go, hey. Okay. Just how they present is going to tell you a lot about what they think and also how they perceive you in chiropractic. Are they respectful? Now, one of the important things is you're observing their body language, because their body language will tell you a lot of what you need to know about the patient. Now, in our practice, there are three chairs, right? There's one closest to the exam desk, and there's one furthest away. If they're sitting furthest away, that tells me a couple things. Number one is they're not confrontational. Number two is they're not very self-confident. Number three is they're apprehensive. I know that immediately. Okay. If they're in the closest chair to the desk, this is an attentive and intuitive patient. This is somebody who's proactive, and this is somebody who's probably more an assertive or driver personality. The further they sit away from your desk tells you so much. Why is this important? Because you need to know who's in front of you, who's your audience, and how do you communicate with them. There's four basic personality types that we deal with every single day with every single person. All right, so do you guys know those four? Right, there's your driver, there's your analytical, your expressive, and your amiable. Now, your driver is me. It's Dr. Eddie, right? What's the problem? What do we need to do? Tell me, how do I need to fix this? Let's go, right? Don't waste a lot of time on fluff and duff. And then you have your analytical, okay? I want all the details, and you better give me the research as well too. And by the way, if you don't, you're gonna lose that patient. In other words, if you minimize that patient, because guess what? They're going home and doing the research on the internet. So you gotta have a little bit of facts behind what you're saying. They're gonna ask a ton of questions. They're typically going to be very direct, but not very emotional, just very even keel. And a driver's gonna be up here, loud, boisterous, you know, you met us, and you know us. Okay, and then you got your expressive. What's that? Well, your expressive is the type of person when you start your day one consult, you say, you know what, tell me about your problem. And this is how they start. Well, In 1933, my grandfather's second cousin's niece fell off the tractor. And ever since then, we've all had back pain in our family, right? So like every minutia detail you could ever possibly imagine. So by the time they get to the real issue, you're 10 minutes into your consult. So those people need to be directed, right? Refocused, but that's your expressive. Great patients. Why? Because you can connect with them here. And once you connect them with them in the heart, they become great patients the rest of your life. So these are heart-centered patients. You need to connect with them emotionally. Don't give them a lot of facts and figures. You're going to lose them. And then you have your amiable. So you get about 25% of each, right? Four different categories. So what's an amiable? You need to come in three times a week for the rest of your life. Okay. They'll do whatever you tell them if they like you and trust you. So who's in front of you? You have to identify and start using your intellect, your rapport skills, your communication skills to understand who's in front of you so you communicate effectively with each one of the different types of people. If you communicate the same way with everybody, you won't have the same results. And the shifts are subtle, guy. They're not huge shifts, but subtle shifts, okay? So here's what I want you to do between now and the next time you come in, or next time we meet, you come in. I'm thinking of a patient. I want you to write down all the new patients that you start, and I want you to categorize them and classify them in one of those four categories. And also, okay, also, how did you make that determination? What hints or what made you think that they were an expressive or an amiable or driver? See, if you can write it, say, well, this is what I noticed here and here, then you own it, then you know it. And guys, you may be saying, Jay, how does this help me get, you know, how does it help me be a successful chiropractor? The most successful chiropractors, guys, I've ever met in my life are great relationship builders because they understand people, they know people. Dr. Andy, anything you want to add to that?
No, I mean, that's, you nailed that one on the head. Which is what we do every day. That's why we have such, I mean, we do so well. It's because we can, every time you walk in a room, you can't be the same guy. You got to be, I mean, be the same person, but be a little bit different based on what they need to hear and when they need to hear it and how they need to hear it said. So, yeah, that was great.
I agree. So be your authentic self, but understand who's sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
So once you've made that, and by the way, it's a really quick assessment, right? You don't get a lot of time. You know, you've got to kind of make that assessment. I call this conscious awareness, guys. The best people in their industry are consciously aware. In other words, they're in the moment. They're aware of their surroundings. They're aware of their thoughts. They're aware of the people around them. They're consciously aware. They're,
and another thing I guess you could add is how they're sitting in their chair. Because this is what I use. What chair they're sitting in, yeah, I do pay attention to that. But I'm more concerned of, are they sitting up here? Are they sitting like that? Like you said, with the arms, like, as if they're here, they're driver, they're sort of, you know, you can kind of play on how they're even positioned in a chair of how you need to show into the room.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. I'll see if I can find a resource for you guys if you want to. I know there's books. I read them a long time ago. I can't
there's
remember.
A book called Welcome to Chiropractic by Bill Estev, and it goes through some of this stuff.
Oh, that's right. That's it. By the way, anything Bill writes is great.
Yeah.
Is great. And I think he's written like 11 books. And he writes them from a patient's perspective, guys. So you get the mind of a patient. Yeah, he's a patient. Right. So who's a really funny, good speaker and talks a lot about the chiropractic dynamic and relationship. Okay. Who's in front of us? Number Esteb, E-S-T-E-B.
I think it's two E's.
Is Esteb?
I don't know.
I think it's he has a newsletter. It's called Patient Media is his company.
Demo Bill Esteb.
Yeah.
Yes, E-T. It's just one E.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay, so number one, rapport, who's in front of you. Here's number two. You're sitting down, you start the conversation. For time's sake, I'm going to tell you the most important question you're going to ask the patient on day one is this. Okay? And it's not what you think it is. I'm going to go, hey, Luke, you know, obviously you have their paperwork in front of you, and I'm sure you guys asked this question on your paperwork, but honestly, I don't even really look at the paperwork. To be honest with you. I really don't. Yeah, you know, I may look at, you know, history if there's any serious illnesses that they're gone through, but I'm going to go through this shit anyway, right? So the most important question I'm going to ask is, Luke, have you ever seen a chiropractor before? Now, why is that the most important question? We talked about this about 15 minutes ago. Anybody want to tackle that? Why is that the most important question?
Experiences.
Yeah. Josh?
I was going to say, one, you get to give them the day one if they've never been to a chiropractor.
No question. That's for sure. Because what I want to understand is the preconceived belief systems that they're coming to our practice with. Okay? So here it goes. Hey, man. You know, hey, Luke, have you ever seen a chiropractor before? Yeah. Well, I'm curious, right? Really important, right? Twice now I said that. I'm curious. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate that experience? Why do I want to know that? Yeah, well, it's a Luke because you got a 9. You didn't give yourself a 10, Luke? You only give yourself a 9?
I was playing patient.
Okay.
For the same reason when you talked about earlier, you know, whether they rate it 9 or 10, you know, then they had that amazing experience. So,
right. And you're
almost competing with the experience they had in the past. Whereas if they're below 8, then you're, you know, what could they have done better? Because that gives you an idea to what they were lacking before and what you can give.
Well, obviously, Jared, we've done some work together, so you understand. So here's what I want you to explain, Jared, to everybody. And you did a pretty good job with this, is if they're a 9 or 10, they had an exceptional experience. I'm going to follow up that question with another question. If they saw a local chiropractor, what's the follow-up question?
Why'd you leave?
Why'd you leave? Exactly. Right? If it's a 9 or 10, I mean, if you go to an exceptional restaurant, don't you want to keep going back because you had a great experience? So why did you leave, essentially? So instead of saying, why did you leave, you know, basic question is, you know, I'm curious, how come you didn't return back to that practice? So typically you're going to hear my insurance changed. You know, guys, you may hear this as well, too. Their front desk pissed me off. Like, they had a great experience with the chiro, but the front desk pissed them off, and that's the reason why they didn't go back. And that happens. Okay? Now, if it's a 7 or 8, Jared, let's keep going with this. What's the follow-up question? You kind of mentioned it. Guys, write this down. This is really important.
Just kind of something along the lines of what could they have done better to make your experience better?
Okay. Now, why is it important I know that?
So you can – then you know what they want out of it and you can provide it yourself.
Or most importantly, you kind of got it, Jared, but missed a little bit on it, is this is how they're judging you. So in other words, if it was a 7 or 8 or a 6 or a 5, because you may get that at this point in the patient experience, they're going to go, you know what? I went 3 times. I get the same experience. I got no results. Okay. Or he wanted to sell me this big $5,000 plan to come in for the rest of my life. Whatever the objection, so now this is how they're judging you. By the way, and I've heard this a lot, I went to this chiropractor, he wanted to sell me like this 70 visit plan, it was $4,000, and I just didn't go back. Is that going to stop me from doing my process? Not at all. Because typically that's an education issue. The patient wasn't properly educated and the value wasn't created. This is really important. When patients don't accept care, it's not a money issue. Money is only an issue when value has not been created. I'm going to say that again. You need to own this statement. Money is only an issue when value has not been created. So the value by that office and that CARA wasn't created. They didn't see the return on investment, probably because their process sucked. Okay, so now you, what if they said it was a 9 or 10 and you said to them, because you should ask this question as well too, Jared, what made that experience a 9 or 10? And what if they said to you, Dino, they said, man, I went once, guy adjusted me, I felt awesome, and I never went back. I mean, I felt great, I never needed to go back.
What would I say?
No, what would you be thinking if the patient told you they saw a CARA, they said it was a 9 out of 10, you followed up and said, what made it a 9 or 10? And they said, I went once, got adjusted, never had a problem since, been good.
It's probably full of it.
Actually, no.
No. Actually, happens.
It happens. Their expectation is, Dino, you better fix me one damn adjustment or out of here, buddy.
Yeah.
Because they're judging you on that past experience, right? So this is why these questions are so critical. You're getting into the mind of the patient. What are they thinking? So Josh and Brittany and everyone who said learning about what the patient's expectations are, I'm revealing it. By the way, and they would never come to this conclusion by just asking them what their expectations are. You got to ask poignant questions. The quality of your practice will be directly related to the quality of the questions that you ask. So what if they hadn't seen a chiropractor? You look at their intake form. What should we ask? Well, here's the question. I would say, hey, Jared, have you seen a chiropractor before? No, I haven't. Well, I'm curious. Most people either know someone who's been to a chiropractor, or you might have even done some research before coming to our office. What do you know about chiropractic? This is important. Just as it's important if they've been to a chiropractor, because remember, people are coming in with a preset of beliefs. Well, I heard chiropractic helps headaches. Great, right? Or I heard, you know, my sister went to a chiropractor, so it was a terrible experience. He hurt her. I heard chiropractors can cause stroke. I heard chiropractors and medical doctors. Did you get that one?
Yeah, it was a nurse. She was in my surgery, actually. You'll get this like once a year, if not more.
Yeah, not often, but you're going to get it. So you better be prepared how to handle it,
yeah.
Right? I heard once you go, you always have to go. That's the one you're going to hear a lot. Okay? Now, do not respond to any of them. Just make a note of it. Because if you address that issue immediately, how do you come off as appearing?
Defensive,
absolutely. The only one that requires an immediate response is the stroke issue. And you gotta, and if you guys need us to help you with those, we got those. I actually have a sheet of objections, how to handle objections and stuff. Let us know. But for today's sake, you have to address that. Okay, so rapport building. Question number two is how to identify their current objections. You ask them, you know, have they been to a CARO? What was that experience like? How would they rate it? If it was a 9 or 10, what made it that way? If it was anything less than that, what made it that way? What could have made it better? If they haven't been to a chiropractor, right? Do you know someone who has? Have you done any research on your own? What do you know about chiropractic? I'm telling you, I've probably taught this to maybe 150 different chiropractors. For some reason, there's still a decent percent who don't do this. I don't know if it's laziness. I don't know if they don't understand the real impact and value because they're never committed to doing it. But the ones that do this, guys, it's an effing game changer. It's that building that foundation of knowing who's in front of you and already understanding what their concerns, what their objections, and what their expectations are. Rather than just saying, what's your expectation? You know, what would you like to experience? Well, I want to get out of pain, because that's what you're going to hear. So it's a waste of time to even ask the question. start this immediately. Your day one and your patient experience will change dramatically. Okay, step number three, we got a couple minutes and Dr. Edge is gonna wrap up with some nutritional recommendations here for you. Step number three is where they tell their story. This is one of the most impactful trust building processes. Here's what I mean. I'm gonna say, hey Jared, here's where you get the opportunity to tell me your entire story. When did this problem begin, right? How did it start? Was there a specific event or activity? What makes it worse? What makes it better, right? Have you treated with anybody? Do you take any medication? And is there any family history? Tell me your story. And here's what I'm gonna do, okay? I'm gonna take my pen, I'm gonna put it down, and I'm gonna lean forward, and I'm gonna look them right in the eye. I'm not taking a lick of notes. Because if I'm like this, and they're talking, where is the relationship building? Where's the eye connection? Where's the heart to heart? Well, some of you may say, well, then I got to go back and fill it in later. Yeah, well, too damn bad. Because you can't replace this ever by doing this. Or this, right, in your computer. Relationships are built here and built here. So they tell their story. Occasionally, if you got an expressive in front of you guys, you got to bring them back in. So you have to ask redirect questions. Okay, Mary, so let's fast forward from 1986 to 2020. Okay. If you've got a driver, by the way, it's going to be 30 seconds. Start here. This is what I did. Bop, bop, bop. Great. Awesome. Okay. Now, step number four, it's called reflect and validate. What that means is we want them to know that they've been heard. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go, okay, Dino, let me see if I have this right. And you're going to repeat everything they just said to you. You have no notes. You're going to go, so let me understand. So this problem began 6 months ago. You fell off your bike, about to, okay? Everything they just said. What does that say to the patient?
That you were listening to them, that you were not, you know, sitting there taking notes, that you were actually connecting with them as a person.
Yep. Anything else? Anybody else? They feel heard. And isn't that what we all want? We just want to be heard. We want somebody to care. It infers a sense of empathy and that you understand, you understand their issue. By the way, if you do this, guys, typically what you're going to hear is, my wife doesn't even listen that well to me. Or I've never had a doctor, you know, listen that well to me. This is a killer for building trust. Because you just spent the last few minutes of them telling your story, you repeating it back eye to eye, knee to knee, connecting with them on a much, much deeper level. You just confirmed to them that you're the right person and they're in the right place. They don't even know whether you can help them. They just know you're a good person. Okay, so we're going to leave it there. We'll start next time on impact or leverage points, which is the paradigm shift. So before I throw it over to Dr. Annie, any questions on that? And by the way, you can go back to the playback option anytime and go back and listen to it. Josh, you had a question?
Okay, no, I'll go back to the playback thing. I was just going to ask on the second process when a patient's a 7 or 8, what question you're asking, but I can go back to the
playback. No, real quickly. So if it's a 7 or 8, right? What could have happened better to improve your experience, or what would you have preferred happened better to improve your experience? Okay. Or what would you have liked to see to improve your experience? Any way you want to frame that question, but basically you're just trying to find out what they didn't like, right? So you're turning a negative into a positive. All right, Dr. Eddie.
Yeah. So, like Dr. Jared mentioned earlier, I've been working with him on doing supplement recommendations. This is a quick way to, because everybody that sent me the goals, all of it was to improve the numbers, improve collections, help more people, obviously, which is going to come with it. So there's three things that every American is going to be deficient in. You guys should all be taking them. So then you're living this for your patients. And this needs to be done. I do mine at the ROT. I have a ROT pamphlet. I open it up. This is on the top layer. I can send you guys a copy or whatever you want there. I don't know if you already have a process there. But you just write it in. They're used to seeing this stuff. So omega-3s, vitamin D, probiotics. Everyone in the United States of America is not going to be getting ample amount of this for a variety of reasons, which we're not going to talk about for the sake of time right now. But what I want you to do is as you go through them, you need to ask them. That's not exactly what I was talking about, but that's actually like the overview sheet, but we can bring that up later. So whenever they go through the sheet, you say, hey, what do you know about vitamin D with K2? You get it from the sun or whatever their response is. What I do is just kind of dig in. Well, I'm just going to educate you a little bit about it on not only why you need to be taken, but why is it going to help your problem right now? So vitamin D, number one, is an inflammation killer, and this is how it works. So write this stuff down. 2,700 cells in your body have a vitamin D receptor. Over half of Americans are deficient in vitamin D. We live in the Midwest, or we live in the Dakotas, or we live in Kansas City, or wherever you live. Odds are you're going to be deficient in vitamin D. So instead of us running a test that's going to cost us a few $100, why don't we just supplement the vitamin D? It's going to be a lot cheaper and a lot more effective. Whenever vitamin D is not getting in those cells, what do you think is getting in those cells? And then I always give the patient, obviously, the chance to answer that question. They usually say, I don't know, doc, or not vitamin D, or whatever they say. And you say, exactly. So toxins, garbage. Then we get bad cell expression, and bad cell expression is going to lead to disease and dysfunction and inflammation. Because if we've educated properly, the patient already knows that inflammation is the driver to whatever problem they came in with that day, and that's what we're going to help them with. Why does it have to have K2 in it, doc? I've never heard of that before. Simple. This will make it really easy. Don't go into the science because it's going to do this. So just say, hey, vitamin D is fat soluble, so as we age, it has a tendency to get stuck in places that it shouldn't, arteries, etc. So what vitamin K2 does, or what K2 does, it goes up and it grabs the vitamin D that may not be placed in the cells that it should be working in, and it goes and puts them in the cells. So number one, it can be working more efficiently, but number two, it's doing exactly what it's supposed to be with no risk. Boom. Odds are they're buying this vitamin D when they leave. I mean, I'd sell $8,000 worth of supplements a month, and vitamin D, omega-3s, and probiotics are going to be where to start. So let's just real quick go through. I mean, like 70% of Americans, I just read an article this morning, 70% of Americans are taking some kind of anxiety depression medication right now. Dave. If you run that against the placebo, it's not, there's no change in effectiveness. So we need to really get people on vitamin D. For those things, you can go wherever you want with this, but I always start with that easy 2,700 cells in the body, inflammation. So let's transition. Any questions on that quick? Pretty easy stuff, right?
So where's then we go omega-3. Where's the 2,700 cells coming from? Like, is that 2,700 different cells?
2,700 cells in the body, yep. So we transition over to omega-3. So omega-3s, number one reason they came in our office is inflammation. It's an inflammation killer. When it works with vitamin D and K2, it actually has a synergistic effect. So it's actually going to increase the uptake in the brain, which is going to decrease inflammation quicker. So great point to make. Another thing, 33% of your brain is made of DHA. DHA, you're not going to be getting ample amounts in our diet just because of the way everything's processed and raised these days, right? So what's the easiest way to combat headaches, depression, anxiety, a bunch of things that you're hearing from patients on a daily basis? We have to supplement with vitamin D and omega-3s. You can go down a rabbit hole with this one. I usually keep this one really brief because most people, once you say those few things, they're like, oh, okay, doc, that makes a lot of sense. Then probiotics. So again, depression, anxiety, inflammation. So you have more neurons in your gut than you do in your brain. Always start here. As those neurons get faulty, because so many Americans have bad diets, then you have bad brain health. Brain health is going to control inflammation, healing, headaches, whatever you want to bring it back to there. So the thing, why do they need to buy it from us, though, is going to be something they're not going to say, but they're going to be thinking it. They're going to go home, and they're going to go on Amazon, and they're going to go buy a third-rate product at best. So what I always say, I start with omega-3. So why we should be taking the pharmaceutical grade, FDA approved, the things that we have in our office is simple. If you go to CVS, Walgreens, wherever you want to go, they did a study on this. I have it on one of my computers. I can send it to you if you want. And they took and they did omega-3s and they took out everything and they siphoned it and they measured it. And less than 20% of what it said it had on the label, it actually had in the supplement. So if it doesn't have what it says it has on a label, what's in it? They're going to say, I don't know, or whatever. Garbage, fillers, heavy metals, sugars, flour, whatever it could be. It's not going to be anything that's going to help us get inflammation down. It's actually going to be pro-inflammatory at this point. So we don't need to put this stuff in our body, obviously, right? Yes. And another thing about omega-3s, write this down. This is a huge selling point. Catch to Capture Life from CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, wherever they go. Catch to Capture is 36 months on average. So they catch the cod, the krill, whatever they're going to take the omega-3s out of. And by the time they put it in the supplement and put it on the shelf, it takes 36 months. So patient. You think that supplement's going to be a good one to take? They're going to say, well, probably not, doc, because you're talking about it. And then you say, well, why? Because it's omega-3. It needs to be kept at a certain temperature, processed a certain way. After 36 months, it's probably going to be rancid, right? Yes. So what ours is, and I don't know what brands you guys have, but what ours does is a catch-to-capture life is 3 months. So they get it, and by the time it goes through all the processing and gets into the actual supplement, it takes 3 months. So what's the odds this is going to be a better version? So if you don't get it from here, I don't want you to get it anywhere, because I don't want you to waste your money and your time and promote inflammation by not getting a high-quality product. So what I want you to do with that $20 is I want you to either give it to me and I'll put it in my pocket and go buy some shoes, or take it and we'll put it in a trash can over here on your way out. I say this joking, but I do say this every time. So if you are going to start taking these supplements, what I recommend you do is whenever you take this sheet to the front, you give it to my front desk and they'll go ahead and they'll go through all the pricing with you and we'll get you started right away. So we can, number one, get your inflammation under control sooner so the body will start healing sooner. And I know that was a lot and a little bit of time because I didn't have much time. So we can double back. But I want you to guys to really focus on this next 2 weeks is what can you start doing as initial recommendations for the supplement line?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you could tell his certainty. So Dr. Eddie is you know, knows and understands these supplements. He's become an expert with it. So any articles, Dr. Eddie, that you can share with the group that you can have, maybe send attached to the email when you go.
I highly recommend you guys do for just certainty for these three things alone, which will drive your practice numbers so far up, because these are residual things. I mean, $8,000 a month, or last month alone, I did just in supplements. So we go to Innate Choice. So it's Dr. Chestnut's website, and he has disseminated a lot of the talking points I just said came straight from his research. So he's done all the legwork for you guys to go ahead and read through this stuff, and you script it how you want based on your personality. Obviously, I'm probably a little bit more aggressive when I talk about this stuff, but it works, and the patients get better faster. It's amazing.
Guys, just let me do the quick math for you, and then we'll go here. and this is the business side of this. So there's the clinical side, is you're helping people become more sufficient, more healthy, and then there's the business side. If you sell these products, let's say, you know, your omega-3, your vitamin D3, your probiotic, maybe even do a multi or a magnesium or whatever the case may be. It's $125 worth of supplements. Your cost is half that. Okay. So let's say the profit margin is somewhere around $70. If your PVA is 20, your patient visit average is 20, you just added $3 per visit to your OVA. That's how much, just one group of sufficient supplements adds $3 to your OVA. Imagine if you did that twice or three times a year, because these people are going to run out in 90 days. We always recommend get 90 days worth of supplementation. And by the way, and we'll help you understand this, but the companies now are doing it where you actually send them to you'll have a link to their website. They can order it off their website using your number. You don't even have to supply it anymore. So, and we'll teach you more about how to do that coming up. So, but yeah. So if they bought two in their lifetime, your OVA goes up $6.
Just imagine getting five in a week. You have 20 new patients in a week and you do five a week. Something, I mean, I do it with everyone, but with five a week, that's going to add up quickly. And then you guys are going to start crushing these numbers that you put in your goals list that you sent me, which is super easy. And the thing about it is I tell everyone I work with, it's people are like, oh, it's so salesy. No, we live in a toxic environment. This isn't back in the day where that adjustment is going to get rid of all of it. Like Dr. Stuckey, he probably didn't need to have to use all these extra supplements, but he didn't have fast food on every corner. He didn't have people drinking a case of pop a day. He didn't, you know, and the toxic thoughts people are stressing out over day in and day out. This promotes inflammation inside, and we're not going to get rid of all of it. The adjustment's the most powerful thing. Don't get me wrong. I am a true chiropractor. But whenever we can supplement, and you'll see in your patients, the change is so much quicker. It is amazing, guys. It is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, again, just thinking about it, if you increase your OVA by $6 per patient, you see $400 a month. It's only 100 visit. I mean, you guys are going to be way beyond that. And it's only $6. It's $2,400. It's $30,000 a year of additional income. And you didn't have to see any more new patients. You didn't have to do any more marketing. All you had to do is have a conversation about how to help them become more healthy and sufficient. And by the way, that $30,000, guys, 100% of that is profit. It didn't cost you any more overhead to create it. 100%. This $30,000 that I'll encourage your lead docs to put in your pocket. How's that sound? All right. So we've gone over today, gave you hopefully a lot of great information. We did the reevaluation opening questions. We started on day one. So your responsibility is between now and next time is to your number of new patients, what category of personality they fall into, and what keys did you identify that made them fall under that? And also, did you guys send over your September stats? Dr. A, did you get the September stats?
He's not here. So I have to email Dustin. He's the only one I think in this group I didn't get him from.
Okay. Awesome.
But also what I want you to do too is, so the guys in the book, so I wrote the version or the place in the book on nutrition and supplementation. So pages 92 to 106, that book right there goes in a little bit deeper dive than what I had time for yet. So you can kind of add this into your scripting or your day one or your day two, day three, wherever you want to put it. But just make it a lot easier than trying to disseminate all the information right there.
Dino, Brittany, did you guys get a book yet?
Not yet.
No.
Okay. Well, you can jump on our website or either Amazon. I mean, you'll have it in a day. I mean, it's also out now in Kindle version if you wanted it that way.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Perfect.
All right, guys. Any closing questions here or comments at all?
No.
Good stuff today.
Definitely.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, look for the follow-up email here. And any questions, just reach out. Otherwise, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Perfect.
You crushing it.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, everybody.